Welcome to Hardcover Hoes, a long-distance book club where two book lovers express their feelings on their book of the moment via podcast. I am one half of your host, Sam Cabrera-Dixon.
And I am Sammy Skorstad.
Together we have combed through book talk, combined our to-be-read lists, and now we intend to make our way through them one book at a time. We'd love for you to come along with us and join the discussion.
The book of the moment for today's episode is All About Love, New Visions by Bell Hooks. Just a forewarning for those of you listening, this is not a spoiler-free zone. We will be discussing this book in all of its glory, which of course includes revealing the ending. Gloria Jean Watkins, born in 1952 and passed in 2021, better known by her pen name Bell Hooks, was an American author and social activist who was a distinguished professor in residence at Berea College. Is that how you say that?
I don't know that college either.
She is best known for her writings on race, feminism, and class. The focus of Hooks's writing was to explore the intersectionality of race, capitalism, and gender, which she described as their ability to produce and perpetuate systems of oppression and class domination. She published around 40 books, including works that ranged from essays, poetry, and children's books. She published numerous scholarly articles, appeared in documentary films, and participated in public lectures. Her work addressed love, race, class, gender, art, history, sexuality, mass media, and feminism. She began her activism in 1976, teaching English and ethnic studies at the University of Southern California. She later taught at several institutions, including Stanford University, Yale University, and the City College of New York, before joining Berea in Berea, Kentucky in 2004, where she founded the Bell Hooks Institute in 2014. Her pen name was borrowed from her maternal great-grandmother, Belle Blair Hooks.
How cute! Before we jump into discussing our own thoughts and feelings regarding the book, I'm going to go ahead and read through the blurb on the back of the book for the sake of contextualizing it. Quote, All About Love offers radical new ways to think about love by showing its interconnectedness in our private and public lives. In 11 concise chapters, Hooks explains how our everyday notions of what it means to give and receive love often fail us, and how these ideals are established in early childhood. She offers a rethinking of self-love without narcissism that will bring peace and compassion to our personal and professional lives, and asserts the place of love to end struggles between individuals in communities and among societies. Moving from the cultural to the intimate, Hooks notes the ties between love and loss and challenges the prevailing notion that romantic love is the most important love of all. Visionary and original, Hooks shows how love heals the wounds we bear as individuals and as a nation, for it is the cornerstone of compassion and forgiveness that holds the power to overcome shame. For readers who have found ongoing delight and wisdom in Bell Hooks' life and work, and for those who are just now discovering her, All About Love is essential reading and a brilliant book that will change how we think about love, our culture, and one another. Without any further ado, let's get into it. I took these trigger warnings from somebody's review on StoryGraph.
Okay.
Did these happen? I don't remember.
There is talk about these things.
Because so I don't want to like say things happen. Like this if it wasn't really in there. You feel me?
Yeah. There is talk about, I know there, like in one of the chapters, they talked about like how, like homes with domestic abuse and like child abuse.
I mean, like this.
Did I pick up on that?
Right, because I didn't. But I also read this 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
I think we can...
let's just say them.
All of the phobias.
Yeah, let's just say them. And I didn't personally remember picking up on them, but
okay.
We both just also kind of skimmed. So maybe they were there and we...
Yeah.
I fear we did not pick up on them. So domestic abuse, homophobia, racism, and toxic relationships, addiction, alcoholism, biphobia, grief.
Yeah, sorry, Danny Zuko.
Grief, yeah, I don't know, I'm sorry. Grief, lesbophobia, and mental illness, not grief.
Are those listed, do you think, because it's, like, written in a very, like, heterosexual...
I don't know. I almost got like the fruity vibes. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay.
But it also was written in the 90s, so I guess very possible that it includes
some subliminal
the phobias. Yeah. Okay, so I would like to start with my first impressions, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, yes.
I was not sure what to think of this when we started, because I was like, okay, nonfiction, just got to put myself into the nonfiction brain, right?
Yes.
So when I started reading, I was like, okay, I'm digging this. I like the topic. I like how it's presented. I think for the first 30% of the book, I was like, yeah, I'm so immersed. I'm so into it. I love the writing style. I was like making intelligent little notes. Like I was vibing with the text. Okay. I was into it. Mm-hmm. And then it started to get repetitive, I fear.
Mm-hmm.
And it was giving, I texted you this, but it was giving like when you're trying to finish a very long research paper and you have to hit like a minimum word count. And so you start saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, slightly different. That's how it started to feel to me, especially like the second half of the book. And it lost me a bit.
Okay.
After that.
Okay. So I was so excited to read this. This has obviously been on Book Talk. I mean, this Bell Hooks is a staple in the history of like modern feminism and everything like that, and intersectional feminism. So I knew about Bell Hooks. I had actually tried to read The Will to Change by Bell Hooks first, right after my breakup.
Okay.
I was like, fuck men. Fuck all this. There's no hope. And then a friend recommended me, what about The Will to Change by Bell Hooks? Because it's all about men.
Okay.
And the patriarchy, like the problems that the patriarchy causes. And I remember though, I mean, I am just so averse to anything having to do with God and religion and spirituality. I just have such a hard time being open. This is a me thing that I definitely need to work on, because I'm just genuinely like, I have a wall up to anything that has to do with that. And not proud of it, but right off the bat it was so spiritual, and it was so, and not even like Judeo-Christian religious, it was just, there was so much,
it was spirituality very much, in it. Yeah, it was emphasizing like the strongest love is the love that you have for God and from God.
Yeah, like divine love and everything. And it's like, you lost me. I don't know about that one. But yeah, and so The Will to Change was something like that. And it was also, and I think I at the time when I was trying to read The Will to Change, I was so angry at men. I wanted something to like fuel that anger. Yeah. Whereas this was like, we need to have compassion for them because this system is like literally killing them. And I was like, no, I don't want to have compassion for men. Like, what? I have been wronged by men. What are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I couldn't do it, but I do want to read it again. And then this All About Love has been all over Book Talk. Like, I mean, I'm on the side of TikTok that talks about therapy. Like, I'm on therapy TikTok. I am on what's your attachment style TikTok.
Yeah.
I am on all of that. And so this, it's so interesting how this, there was a total resurgence of this book on TikTok of like people who are trying to heal themselves and not perpetuate cycles. And I think, which is a big theme in Gen Z.
Yeah,
is
for sure.
I don't know if that's just the Gen Z that I'm exposed to or not, and the circles of the internet that I'm occupying.
Yeah.
But like, it is because Bell Hooks, like, she talks in All About Love, like in the beginning, how she's worried we're headed towards, or like we've been heading towards, and we are at a loveless kind of society, and just hyper independence and people who are so cynical about love.
Right.
But I kind of think like it got really bad. And then now the younger generation is starting to fight against this. It's like, no, capitalism is lying to you. It's not like we need people. Like, I see that more and more now, is like, no, we don't want to be codependent. but it is normal to need somebody. You are supposed to want and need somebody. You are supposed to seek companionship and love and all that. So it's like, I saw her claims of, like, in her fears of a very cynical, very individualistic society. But, like, I feel like we're, I mean, in part, like, on part from this book probably, but in people reading this book. But I think we're, like, Gen Z is kind of already fighting against that, I think, and trying to rewrite what life looks like for us.
Right. And I think, like, we are very social creatures, and that was one of the things that Bell Hooks talks about, at least, like, in the beginning. And I agree with you. I feel like perhaps – I think – okay, here's an example I'm going to give. I think our parents' generation maybe leaned too much into the social creature aspect, right? Like, I know a lot of people my parents' age that, like, cannot survive without seeing their friends or whatever all the time. Like, there's very much a
– cannot be alone.
A cannot be alone thing. Exactly. Yeah. Like, there's an overemphasis on hanging out every day, hanging out like three times a day with different people and whatever. And I think our generation, like the millennial Gen Z cusp specifically, has been more like, oh, you know, we can protect our peace a little bit. We can, we can, you know, me time is very important too. And then I think Gen Z is very reliant on other people while also very – I mean, I also think they've grown up in the weirdest time ever with the pandemic and, like, we were all isolated. So I think that we are seeing, like, a – maybe we do need to be more social, but almost we can't – we don't want to sacrifice that me time for that as well. You know what I'm trying to say?
Let's find a balance.
Let's find a balance. Apparently that's hard to do.
See, okay, yeah, that's interesting. I feel like with me growing up and my parents and the people I was exposed to, they did still have that hyper-independence thing. I mean, both of my parents have it. So I think I've been fighting against, like, my entire life I've been fighting against half of me being like, I don't need anybody. I just, like, all I need is me. Self-love, self-care, yada, yada, yada. Like, I'd rather be alone, which I think is still true. I'd rather be alone than with someone who's shitty.
Oh, for sure.
Our
generation has standards.
No, but sometimes you have to go through shit to grow those standards. For sure. But yeah, so I think what I was exposed to was a lot more hyper individualism. And just, like, I think as soon as I got into a relationship, I was so concerned about codependency, and I did not understand what that actually meant. And but that was at the forefront of my brain. Like, above all else, I was most concerned in that relationship with if we were codependent or not. And but then I didn't have an accurate understanding of what that looked like. I thought so. I didn't actually know how to deal with that and prevent it.
Interesting.
But I was always like, no, we need to have our own lives. No, we have to be able to go and do this and this and this and by ourselves. And I don't know, just very.
Do you think, not to be therapist-y right now, do you think that comes from the fact that you have divorced parents?
Oh yeah, we can totally go into my parents' divorce. Let's see here.
Right. Well, no, I don't. I'm not wanting you to air any dirty laundry or whatever.
I'll air all my dirty laundry.
Because it sounds for me, like, because I agree. I have I come from a family of parents who should have divorced, right? But stayed together. So I feel like for me, I was very much like, I wanted to be able to be dependent on someone that was a good person because I saw dependence on someone who was a bad person firsthand. You know what I mean? So I think it's interesting if my parents had gotten a divorce in my childhood, would I feel more like, would I feel the same, or would I feel more like how you feel about like they're like, I don't want to be codependent on anybody.
Yeah, I think I was actually really thinking about this a lot last night. But I just truly deep down, I believe it for other people. Like, I think you were probably one of the first people where I was like, okay, they're actually gonna last. Like,
Oh yeah.
they're for life.
I feel like that with you too. No, obviously. Now's a good time to reveal how I feel, right? No, I'm sorry. I did not mean for it to come out.
Surprise!
No, but I felt like that also in the beginning when especially when you first moved in and we were living together in New York. I almost said Arizona. Why? What? I don't know what is going on in my brain today. I'm sorry. But I feel like I didn't want to be too codependent on you in that way because I was like, what if, like, I don't know. I've had a lot of friendships where I felt like, oh, we're dependent on each other, but really it was like, you
Someone's
only
dependent
need
on me.
me. Yes.
I
Someone's
don't
dependent
let
on me. And
myself
then when
need,
I need, yes, it's not there. So I didn't want to, like, I was like, you know what? I've been here. Don't want to do that again. But now I feel like I rely on you and you rely on me pretty equally.
Yes, I'm the amount of
Okay, good.
times I have called you mid like
Yeah.
sobbing
It's
breakdown.
okay.
It's okay, and you
It's
deal with it
okay. It's
so
okay.
well.
I would rather you reach out to me than like feel alone.
Yes, no, and
Don't
the same goes
I
for
feel like
you.
that. Okay, good.
Yes.
Am I gonna cry? What's going
Oh
on?
no. The power of bell hooks. But no, and like I think too, when it comes to my parents' divorce, like I have the I think I have come to rely on my friends
That makes sense.
over anybody else. And so, because in my like last relationship, I couldn't rely on him for any of the support that I actually needed. And so I built a really great support system around me. But then now I'm facing like now I'm so terrified of actually needing a romantic partner because
That
I'm
makes
just
sense.
so convinced I will be disappointed.
I think
And
it's good to have high standards, though. I think
it
it is better to
is.
feel like I feel like everyone will disappoint me and then be pleasantly surprised when the right person comes along and they don't disappoint
See, but the issue
you.
is, even in like bell hooks was doing this too, is like this like fear of love and needing to fully be vulnerable and open to love in order to like achieve that. And I'm not on the open to love train because I'm
Yeah.
afraid of being vulnerable. But
I'm not laughing at you.
no, I know. No, but I really have been
Your
thinking a lot.
delivery of that was funny.
No, but I have been thinking a lot about like my parents' divorce too. Like I don't think any I think you and Esty, if there are soulmates, you guys are soulmates.
I
That
agree.
is what I believe.
Not to
Toot
be
my own
narcissistic for
horn,
a
but
second, but I agree.
no, and then but I wholeheartedly and like I think that can exist for other people, but I don't think that anything that I maybe it's just a me. Maybe it's because of how I perceive myself and less about how I perceive other people. Interesting. That's
Maybe.
a new take. I hadn't thought about that. But I
Taking
don't
note for
think,
your next therapy session.
yes, I don't think anything that I am a part of, any romantic relationship, could possibly last more than, like, I think a decade is where, like, in my brain, that maxes out. And I'm like, no, that doesn't, like, it would just fall apart by then. And not necessarily
Interesting.
in like a bad way. I just genuinely cannot see being in a relationship. And like, yes, there are ups and downs, and there are parts that are unhappy and parts where you have to support each other and like choose each other and fight for the relationship. It's not always going to be honeymoon stage. I get that. But like, I can't picture there being something that's like worth that can actually, I don't know.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. I feel like you're also trying not to say like worth the effort without saying worth the effort, you know what I mean? But I agree. It
Yeah.
is effort. Like it is.
I
And I
know, but
think
it's like, and
it's hard.
it's so hard to know when to fight and when to leave. I don't know. I don't know. And so I personally, I can, where I'm like, you and Esty, you're gonna be like, you're meant for each other, you're good. Like my other friends, Charlie and Bonnie, they're meant for each other, they're good. Like I see that for other people. I cannot see that for myself.
It reminds me of a line from the book.
Okay.
Look at me.
Look at you.
Where Bell Hooks says, it had become hard for me to continue to believe in love's promise when everywhere I turned, the enchantment of power or the terror of fear overshadowed the will to love.
Ooh.
Which I feel is kind of like what you were just saying.
Yeah. And I think I love a lot.
And yeah, you do. You love. Do. And but I think that was why also, like, from the book, like, when Bell Hooks starts talking about, like, platonic relationships and friendship relationships being, like, the pinnacle of love, I think, like, that is a good example of, like, how I see your love, too. Like, you have so much friendship love. Like, you do. You do. You're such a good friend. You're so willing to give love and pay attention to love languages when it comes to, like, friends as well. I think, like, that's it is hard to just, like, translate that to something romantic when the time – I mean, maybe it's hard. I don't know. I just think it takes, like, the right person who's also giving you that love that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can't be you one-sidedly doing that. Don't give me that. Did you I think so you said something right before we started about how you watched a few YouTube videos. I'll let you talk your shit on that in a moment. But you said something about how people thought it was really healing. And I was thinking about that while we were in our little brief break moment. And I was going through my notes, and I see maybe perhaps where I was also feeling that. I let the record show, this book took me exactly 2 weeks to read. So perhaps I was forgetting the things that happened at 5% of the way through. Okay. So I kind of like skimmed my own notes. So I'm looking for the one I specifically was trying to talk about. Oh, there was like a lot of talk about like the family, love within a family. And I can't find the specific line. But at the moment of my birth, I was looked upon with loving kindness, cherished, and made to feel wanted on this earth and in my home. To this day, I cannot remember when that feeling of being loved left me. I just know that one day I was no longer precious. Those who had initially loved me well turned away. The absence of their recognition and regard pierced my heart and left me with a feeling of brokenheartedness so profound I was spellbound. And I think, like, the way that Bell Hooks discusses, like, the idea – it's, like, a roundabout way of saying, like, the idea of when people want to have a kid, they think about having a baby, right?
Yeah.
Like, they have small child, small baby child that is precious and lovely and everything like that. And not its own person yet. Exactly. An accessory. And so when small baby child starts to become an actual human being with thoughts and opinions and – attitudes and that, you know, a person starts to become fully formed, that is when we see like a drop of love, you know what I mean? Like it kind of feels like, oh well, they're not coming out as the mini me that I wanted, and they're not doing and thinking the same exact way that
I don't have control over everything about them anymore.
You suddenly see a dip in that love that you were receiving, and it makes zero sense when you are a small baby child who's becoming small human, right? And I think that was very – that whole portion of the book was very healing for me, because I was like, I know that there is – I know that that's not just – that like that happens to almost everyone, right? I know that in my head. But to read it in such a way that was very much like my note was ouch, right? Like was very ouch. Much a way that felt relatable, like extra relatable and not in like the funny sense, right? So I thought that was really healing to hear just from another person's perspective that had gone through the same similar thing, you know, within a 30-year difference of time. Gap.
Yeah.
Rather.
Yes.
I also thought it was very interesting to see the commentary on on like romance books and like the way that romance and love is was written in books. I think that it was a lot of bell hooks' emphasis was on like men write these romance books, even though the audience is for women. But because of this, there's a lot of writing in these works that is like not relatable to women at all. Which I know there's plenty of jokes about that in our day and age, but one of the things she says is, of course, consumers of books about love are primarily female, yet male sexism alone does not explain the lack of more books by and about love written by women. Apparently, women are both willing and eager to hear what men have to say about love. Female sexist thinking may lead a woman to feel, sorry, she already knows what another woman will say. Such a reader may feel that she has more to gain by reading what men have to say. And so I think within the context of this book being published in 1999, right? I think that was definitely true in 1999. I think it was true in the early 2000s, and I think it was even true up until like
A
the
few years ago.
mid 2010s. Yeah. But I feel like over 20 years later, I think we're seeing a shift in this, right? I think I personally would not even fucking think about picking up a romance book written by a man, let alone any other book, right? But specifically romance, you could not pay me, right, to pick up
I
a
don't want to hear
romance
about
novel written
how
by a man.
her tits were smiling at him. I don't want to hear about
Yeah, and the perfect hue of her rounded lips, like fuck
that.
off, bro. Anyways, that's a whole tangent in and of itself. But I feel like we are a lot of the points that she was making about certain things like this, for example, I feel like we are seeing a shift in that. And another thing that I saw too was she discussed briefly like how we see love on television shows. And in that part, I'm scrolling to find it, where there are current television shows that actually modeled loving parenting, parents could learn these skills, right? Like there was a disconnect in the like the way that parents show love to each other and to their children on TV shows that was like, yeah, if this is being watched by the general public is going to start picking up on these things and perhaps doing that themselves in their own relationships, right? So part of it is like learned behavior. Oh, we have a kitten joining us. And she further goes on to say, like, television shows oriented towards families often favorably represent children when they are overindulged, are disrespectful, or are acting out. Often they behave in a more adult manner than the parents. What we see on television today actually at best models for us inappropriate behavior and in worst case scenarios, unloving behaviors. So, but also shows like the parents, like the joke that like dads hate their wives, right? Which is here nor there for the generation above us. But it there's always shows like this joke where it's like, oh, the dad should be able to work, the mom should have to take care of the kids. The dad's kind of fun though, and when they're together, the dad would rather do things alone without the mom. Like there's not a loving relationship being shown. So I think also our generation grew up watching TV shows like this, right?
You're so right.
Right? Like
Fuck.
the only times we saw loving dads specifically was if the wife was dead. My
The
main
single father,
The
yes,
single father trope, okay, Full
the Pedro
House, right? We
Pascal's.
all, yes, we all, Danny, we all loved like Danny Tanner from Full House because he was the only like dad on TV that openly just like loved and cared for his kids. But you know what? The wife was dead, right? So think about like other TV shows where we watched family dynamics in play.
I am thinking about one good example, the Addams Family, and
True. Oh,
how
yeah. How Gomez
he
loves.
just obsessed with Morticia. One good example. I cannot think of another one.
And you know what? That's not a white man. So
That's true. That's
now
true.
recorrect and think about white men on TV, like
I'm
white
thinking
family dynamics.
Wizards of Waverly Place. I feel like they loved each other.
They did. They did. That's true. That's
And
true.
that wasn't
And
full. He
yes.
was white, but that wasn't a fully white.
That's true. That's also true.
But
I was thinking about this when I was reading because I was like, this was I was reading this mid Bluey binge, okay?
Nice.
And this is where I was like, we are seeing a shift in this now, I feel, because Bluey, if I had had Bluey growing up, like not to heal my inner child real quick, because I love Bluey and I could talk about Bluey for hours. But if I had had Bluey growing up, I think a lot of things would have been way more clear to me, right? And I think one of those things is like the parents have such a loving relationship and they don't shy away
The
from
little dog
showing that
parents?
love. Yeah, little dog parents. They don't shy, don't judge me.
Sorry.
They don't shy away from showing their affection towards each other in front of the kids ever.
Yeah.
And they don't go like, ew, that's gross. Like, even the kids will be like, are you
Aww.
gonna give mom a kiss on the cheek before you go? Like, things like
Aww.
this. Like, it was so healing, like, to watch these 8-minute episodes of this dog
God.
family. But I think this is one of those things where, like, when Bell Hooks says, like, it models inappropriate behavior, like, these TV shows are modeling inappropriate behavior amongst parents, amongst kids. I think it, like, we grew up with these really toxic things that people thought were funny for TV.
Yeah.
And I think now we're seeing a shift in those, which is good, but it's like our generation was already affected by
We're already fucked.
that. We can save the next one, perhaps. You know, I have faith in Bluey, but yeah. Anyways, that was my mini tangent about the things that she said that I've seen a huge difference in 20 years later. Or not huge, but at least pretty significant.
There's one line too. It was kind of, I went to it because I remembered this line and we were talking about romance books written by men versus women. And it was like male fantasy is seen as something that can create reality, whereas female fantasy is regarded as pure escape. Like there is nothing in like, and that's another thing with like romance books and stuff where it's like, oh, well, now they have unrealistic expectations because like you just keep reading romance, like that's not actually out there, all this shit.
No,
Whereas
that's a
like,
great point.
yeah. So escapism through, and then like shit to manifest, I guess, if it's written from a man.
No, you're absolutely right. And that is so frustrating. But it's even more frustrating to see that it was frustrating 20 years ago and it's still frustrating now. You
It's
know what I
still
mean?
frustrating today.
At least I think like obviously we're in more of a time where women's voices are heard more or like
Are they
have
respected?
accessibility, right? But there's more accessibility for them to be heard, perhaps is the right way to put that. And I think like it's very interesting to see how, like I said earlier, how most women who are going to read a book are like, absolutely, I'm not touching anything written by a man.
And I think this goes along. I don't know if you've been seeing this on TikTok too, but it's like men right now. It's like a record amount of them are single and not having sex. Like
I did
never
not know that.
before in recorded, I don't know how they record this shit throughout history, but a record amount of men are single and
Interesting.
nobody's having
I
sex with
wonder
them.
fucking why.
I know. And it's because of shit like this. And it's just like, it is like, I would rather be single than be with an emotionally unavailable, manipulative
Piece of shit.
piece of shit.
Yeah, that checks out. Yeah, I wonder. Now my brain is going on a bit of a
Tangent.
spin, but I wonder if we're gonna see like, I mean, I already know from our generation we're gonna see a dip in population growth, right? Because people just generally don't really want to have kids from our generation.
We
It's just
can't.
not, it's not, yeah, it's not feasible. But I also think like now hearing that statistic about the fact that men are finally being treated the way that they deserve, I wonder even more if we're going to see an extra dip from that. Is the male population going to fall off? Who knows?
Probably. I
Perhaps.
also know so many more people now, whereas like I think in the past it was like, oh, we really want to have sons. We really want not to go down a little, it's not like quite eugenics, but it's bordering on eugenics. But like people who are going to choose what kind of child they want to have
Oh, yeah, this is kind of eugenics.
are prioritizing having girls, though, where it's like, I know multiple people who are like, I want to have kids. I do not want to have a boy. And to what, I don't know to what extent they are willing to make that their reality, you know?
And I think that says a lot.
Where I've had, like, some of my friends are straight up like, I do not want to carry a boy in my body for 9 months. Like, I refuse
Yeah.
to create a boy.
And that it, I feel like I, you know what's interesting too on that note is I feel like in past years, there has always been a joke that like raising girls is way more work. I fear raising boys is actually way more work because there is
How many
so
girls do
much
you know who like raised themselves and their
every
siblings?
girl that I know.
Yep.
Yeah.
There you
It's
go.
not even, I couldn't even tell you who didn't if they had siblings, right? Like, I think it's such a thing that like I'm raising my little brother now, right? Like, and by little, I mean he turns 20 this year. Like, there's such a disconnect from like reality almost when it comes to the idea of raising boys from previous generations. So I feel, and I do feel confident that our generation that does want to have kids, that does end up having a boy,
We'll
right?
do a slightly better job.
I agree that they will do a slightly better job. But at the end of the day, you are also still seeing like all of these horrific men on TV shows, on whatever, any men in your life, they were raised by somebody. Somebody raised them and they
Somebody
still turned
created
out like
that.
that. So let's have a break. Before we move on to discuss the rest of All About Love New Visions, let's listen to a quick word about the brand sponsoring today's episode.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
All right, let's continue the conversation.
One thing I think, so, oh, talking about the YouTube
Oh,
videos,
yeah, go for it.
I want to pull up, because I'm gonna give credit where credit is due.
Please do.
Who did I watch? Let me see. Oops. Anyways, one creator, who was it? Brother, where the fuck is the video that I watched?
Go to your library on YouTube.
Oh, okay. Recently played. I watched. Oh, Cozy Conference. And
Love that username.
I don't know how to pronounce the name, but Sagid Carter or Sajid Carter. Yeah, watched their videos and kind of talking about the emphasis on like there is like love is in action. Love is like the aspect of love that is a choice, and it is something that you do, and all of these aspects that create what love should be, essentially. And there's no school for love. There is no way, like the way we typically learn to love is through our families. And but a lot of the times that is not the type of love. Like there's still something lacking. And it's like there it's not like you don't have the honest aspect of it. You don't have the commitment aspect of the consistency of it or whatever. And so there's no other place that we really learn how to love and practice how to love. And again, this is the shit that creates attachment issues and all of these problems that then create cycles in later relationships and all that. But just kind of talking about like we, the emphasis, there's no emphasis in society on the importance of love, I don't think. And now my train has disappeared. But yeah, those are
That's okay.
some thoughts.
It reminded me of what you just said, reminded me of one of her lines that was like, the reality was, however, that parents who came from unloving families and homes have never learned how to love and cannot create loving home environments or see them as realistic when watching them on television. This is part of the TV thing. But the reality they are most familiar with is trust is the only one. What? The reality they are most familiar with and trust is the only one they knew intimately. So, like, there's this emphasis on, like, well, you have to trust me.
Yeah.
I'm your dad. I'm your mom. Right. Like there's a trust thing, but when it reverses, right. And you are the children saying, trust me to my parents. It's like, it doesn't work that way.
No, no.
You also said something that reminded me of, I don't know where the context of this was, but the confusion arises because most people who think they are not lovable have this perception because at some point in their lives, they were socialized to see themselves as unlovable by forces outside of their control. We are not born knowing how to love anyone, either ourselves or somebody else. However, we are born able to respond to care. Right?
Ooh.
And I fear that is the end of my, like, smart notes, because right after that is where she starts going spiritual. Like, I just looked, there's a gap. But, like, I had a note on, like, a highlight on almost every page until up to, like, 27% of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next note's not for 37%, so, like, what happened during that 10%? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I fear the rest is very religious.
Mm-hmm. What was I going to say? I had a thought on something you just said. What did you just say?
I was talking about love in the...
Oh, were you? Like a...
Okay, fuck you, dude. in the context of, like, the family unit and, like, how we're not born knowing how to love, but we are born knowing how to respond to care. Yeah. And then prior to that, like, the parents having bad home environments. And then not being able to create, which I think we're seeing a shift in that. I feel like there's very much an emphasis now on, like, if I have children and I create a family like this, I will not be doing the things that my parents did.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's definitely been a shift in that. And what is it? Is it social media? Is it like the access to information? Like what has shifted in Gen Z? Yeah.
If I had to make a prediction, I would say it is the access to social media and the spread of ideas through social media, because prior to that, like, and we talked about this when we read Somebody's Daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people grew up in very abusive households from our generation, from the millennial generation. Like our parents' generation was abusive. Like that's just the truth of it. That was so normalized that it wasn't even discussed or seen as something that was wrong.
Right.
So I think now that we have such a wide range way of expressing ideas and explaining our stories and more study into like what fucked us all up mentally, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that we are seeing this, like, this was really bad. And because of that, these are the results on our mental health of this whole fucking generation.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. That's what I was thinking. It was like, people are actually talking about it. I think it's kind of similar to like the talking about weight, like in transparency and wages, and like so many things that we grew up with, like, no, those are taboo topics. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about those things. All of these things, where it's like, no, all of a sudden people started sharing things.
Yeah. And talking being about like, things. No, you can say this.
Exactly. And then we saw this like common denominator for all of it's like, and then it's like, oh my God, everybody's going through this. This is an issue. We should address this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's fix this. Like clearly, I think it just becomes so much more clear when you have, when they're like the numbers like that, because it's harder if you have these issues and you had these experiences. I think it's really harder to make that very clear connection of like, oh, I am like this because I was treated like this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whereas like it's, if you see it from the outside, it's like, oh yeah, no shit, they have issues. They had they grew up like that. And
yeah, yeah.
So, ooh, interesting. Okay, there's
no more like plausible deniability. Oh, go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
I remembered what I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
It was when we were talking about TV shows, movies. It can be a book too. What piece of media, I guess, do you think for you and your idea of love?
Mm-hmm.
Has the most accurate portrayal of love?
I don't want to say Bluey. I'm not going to say Bluey.
Don't say Bluey.
It's in there. Don't say Bluey. It definitely was one of the things that came to mind, just because it also expresses love of the family unit on a very strong level.
Okay, how about
romantic love?
Let's focus on romantic love. Okay. Because I can think of, for me, I can think of movies that
I think, portray platonic love in the way that is accurate for me and like how I, mm-hmm. I guess like mirrors how I present or love platonically.
Right.
But yeah, romantic okay. though. Let's do romantic.
Romantic. I would say.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking of it. And then, okay. Romantic love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have a book.
Okay.
I am going to say Alone with You in the Ether.
Ooh.
Because they both had issues.
Yeah.
But they both learned how to like work through them and love each other through
okay.
their issues. And I feel like there's something else I'm thinking of that I just can't, but I mm-hmm. feel like Alone with You in the Ether made me feel like that is love. Even okay. if it was weird at times or whatever, but that's their story. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have one?
No, not really. One answer I got was Silver Linings Playbook.
I never watched it. I know. I'm a bad movie person. I'm
okay,
sorry.
That's a mentally ill times mentally okay, ill okay, okay. person in love. And
okay.
No, but I'm like, I've been trying to think of one. I don't know if I've really like love. I can think of so many, even like mother daughter yeah. love. I can think of so many, but yeah. I think I'm still trying to map out in my head and my experience what romantic love, like what is realistic. Mm-hmm. And accurate in romantic love for me.
Right. I think that's fair. I think that's super fair. Now I'm trying to think of friendship love. What piece of media?
Aquamarine.
You're not far off, though.
No, like, I'm not joking.
That's a super valid thing.
I'm not joking. That's why.
That's a really, really good question.
Thank you.
The thoughts are thunking right now. I'm literally just like staring at my bookshelf because for some reason I cannot think of any single movie or book I've ever read.
Okay, what about, let's see, platonic love. What are we doing? Honestly, I think we're Aquamarine because they have that beautiful scene at the end where like the whole thing was like she needed somebody to like love her. So her dad didn't like pull her back to the depths of the ocean, and the two friends.
How recently did you watch?
I've watched this movie so many times.
Okay.
And they say the friends say "I love you" to her, and she was like, "I don't understand. Like, what are you talking about?" I'm like, "We would do anything for you. Like, we love you. We do care about you." And I think there was also like the threat of one of the friends was moving to Florida or like moving no to Australia, and. So it was going to be like long distance and like the companionship and the love and the comfort from a friendship. It was very much a codependent, but then they had conversations about that. Aquamarine, that's such a good movie. I just remember Island in the Sun playing when at the dance thing in the movie. It's such a good movie. Okay.
I'm gonna need a rewatch perhaps because I don't think I've watched that movie in a decade, perhaps.
I think we rewatched in 2020.
Oh, good for you. You watched a lot of stuff in 2020.
I did. I was checked out of reality in 2020.
I'll never forget you being like, I'm going to go through every Marvel production ever.
And I did.
And you did. That was so impressive. There's you know so what, many.
You know what else I did? I watched all of the Star Wars movies.
Yeah. You did so much, bro. That's crazy.
I was a full-time student, and I still was doing all this shit. So
Iota,
yeah, she's,
you know what, I was
out.
Just thinking of a platonic one, and it's relevant because I'm reading it right now, but
okay.
I just finished Ray Bear.
Uh-huh.
And part of the concept, without any spoilers, is like one person is like the emperor.
Mm-hmm.
And he has this thing where he's a ray bear, which means he can like have a telekinesis. What is that word I'm trying to
telekinesis?
Say?
Telekinesis.
Yeah. Okay. I was there. Telekinesis kind of relationship with 11 people that he anoints, but the mm-hmm. only way for them to accept that ray is what they call it,
mm-hmm.
Is for them to love him and for him to love them.
Ooh.
Platonically. So, and then within that, like once they are anointed, they all start to love each other because of that ray bond as well.
Okay.
Like and they can feel each other's thoughts and all that kind of stuff. So I think like it was very, it's very much like a nod to like empathy, like being able to literally step inside someone's mind and understand their feelings. And the love that they all have for each other is very much like, like good. I have no other word.
It's good. It's good.
It's good. But yeah, I would say Ray Bray for at least the first one. I'm not done with the second one, so I don't know what happens.
Cannot speak to that. Yeah, yes.
But the first one for sure. So
what
else? Like I said, I felt like I was there. She said a lot of things that I was like, yes, this is something we don't like. I feel like we don't talk about in depth a lot, but perhaps we've thought about. And I think this is one of those like little topics where like I've always loved the topic of love. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like
I love love.
I love love. So I feel like there was a lot of it where I was like, oh yeah, I know. Yeah, for sure. I got you.
Yeah. I've thought about this. I've had these. Yeah.
So I fear that led to me skimming some parts because I was like, okay, I get she's going to say that thing pretty much again. Which I felt guilty for. I want to put it out there. I feel like I don't skim things anymore, but it was starting to feel at least like at the 70% mark, like I was trying to read something for school and I needed to just do it and get the topic sentence and move on. Like it was kind of feeling like that a little bit. And also the like God stuff, I couldn't, the spirituality and divine love parts. I was like, okay. It's just not for me. One chapter, okay. But, like, more than one chapter, I was like, all right.
I just have such an issue with people talking about God.
Why did I just get a missed call from New York? What is going on?
I don't know, bro.
You're rubbing off on me today.
Yoda, why are you drooling so much?
Aw.
She drools when she purrs.
Aww.
Aww.
Jonesy does it a little bit.
Yeah. She full on like drips out. It's so gross. I think this book is not meant to be read on a like read by this date. I think this book is best read bits and pieces over this many days, however long it takes. But just
I read it like reading 10% every few days. That was how I did it.
Yeah. I want to revisit this book when I am not also finishing up my degree.
Yeah.
And have lots of other things to do because I did not give this book my all. And I want to.
Mm-hmm.
So like I don't even think I can give a rating this time around.
Oh, really?
No. I think I need more time. I do fear the God and spirituality stuff will just and that's something I really need to get to the root of. Is it just growing up in where we grew up, or is it
perhaps because I have it too?
Okay.
I have a lot of issues like with it. I don't know, is it the tism? I don't know.
Is it the tism?
Is it the tism?
Is it the fruitiness? Is it the,
I don't know. I think it's the overall oppression of the church. I don't know.
Is it the pedophilia? What
that
is it?
One person who listens to us who hates when we get political. This one's for you, bro. This one's for you, sis. Like, it's not
both
our fault.
Both sides of the aisle. Yeah. Yeah, right.
No, but I fear, like, especially at the 90% point of this book, the last 10% was like, love is angels and angels are here. And I was like, what are we talking
about?
You lost me big time. I like one of my notes was not going to lie, this is very off topic.
Very off topic.
The line was, the presence of angels, of angelic spirits, reminds us that there is a realm of mystery that cannot be explained by human intellect or will. We all experience this mystery in our daily lives in some ways, however small, whether we see ourselves as spiritual or not. We find ourselves in the right place at the right time, ready and able to receive blessings without knowing just how we got there. Often, we look at events retrospectively and can trace a pattern that allows us to intuitively recognize the presence of an unseen spirit guiding guiding and directing our path, like angels. Like, what? Huh? Are you trying to say fate? Like, I don't. Right? Like, I don't know. I don't. It wasn't for me. It got into the not for me territory. And I was like, okay. Can we finish this last 10%?
Yeah. Okay.
So you have no rating this time around?
No rating this time around. No, unfortunately.
I think I was vibing with this text in the beginning. I fear I stopped vibing with it at some point. Was it me, perhaps?
Am I the problem?
Am I the problem?
Am I the drama? Probably I'm the drama.
When I finished it, I was like, thank God I finished it.
Okay.
Not in like a negative way, but I was just like, okay, I feel like it stopped being a fun read and turned into like a homework. Need to finish this. Yeah, like a homework read, exactly. And so I think you were spot on when you said this shouldn't be something that you read when you have like a deadline to finish it.
Yeah.
I never take 2 weeks to finish a book, but I was like, I feel like I need to spread this out for me to take it in and enjoy it. And it was not that long. Like, it was really not that long.
Yeah.
When I finished it, I gave it a 3.5, I think. Mm-hmm. But I think I was very caught up in the, like, angel thing at the end.
I think that really
influenced it. And now, upon, like, going through our conversation and what this book made us talk about,
yes.
I feel, like, better about the read. I think perhaps this is something you shouldn't be reading alone, which maybe is a whole message, again, based off of her saying that we are social creatures and we need to be communicating with others about love. Like, perhaps this is the whole fucking point, and I just realized it while I was talking.
My God. Five stars. Change the rating.
Right? I'll bump it to a 4 for sure, okay. Because I did enjoy a lot of the parts. I did feel like, yes, I totally see this, and I see the connections, and it gave us this brilliant conversation that we had today that we thought was going to be a 30-minute episode. It wasn't.
Yeah.
Can you tell my coffee's kicked in?
Yes, I have. Yes, I can.
So I think it has bumped it up. Do you have any other things to say?
No, just I'm like, I really do. I think this is going to be I will read a few pages at a time and really think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And see. One of the YouTube creators too was like, this book is a mirror. And it's like, it just causes you to reflect on.
Oh, yeah.
Everything, all of the relationships in your life, where you learn to love, how you love, all of those things. And so I think,
yeah,
that's cool. This is a good tool, I think.
Add it to our backpack, like Miss Washington said.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
I almost actually referenced that class earlier. You said something, and I was about to say, the medium is the message, and then I stopped myself.
You should have.
I know. I didn't want to interrupt you, and I was like, hee-hee, that would be funny to say.
I learned so much from Miss Washington. Okay.
Me too. I think we, like, all did not appreciate that class as much as we did. Both of those classes, her English class and her TOK class.
I was terrified of her. I just wanted her to be proud of me.
Me too. Me too. So me badly. Too.
Like, more than any other teacher I've ever had.
Me too. Like, when, do you remember when she would give everybody, if you did really good on one of the essays, like the AP test essays, and she would give you like a 4, and then she revealed at the end of the year that sometimes when she felt it was a 5, she would give you a 4, so you'd keep trying.
Oh, she's intimidating.
Like, she would mark you lower just so that you would, like, push for that 5 that never came.
God. I remember in AP.
I got a 5 on that AP exam, though, so you know what?
I did. I did, too.
It worked.
I remember the first day of TOK senior year walking in and seeing her, and I was like, Miss Washington, I got a 5 on the AP Lang test. And she was like, I know you did. Like, she gave me such a, like, she's like, I knew you could do it. I know.
I'm having a flashback to me being in her car for something, and I don't remember why. But she gave me, like, a heart-to-heart about something, and I was like, okay. And then she said something, like, she cursed, and I was like, oh, she curses?
Oh, my God.
Love you, Wendy Washington. Anyway. Okay. I think that's where we're going to leave this episode for. No, how do I say this? Whatever. Before we part, we'd just like to thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, I encourage you to leave a review on whichever platform you're listening on, if applicable. If you have any further questions regarding topics discussed throughout the episode, feel free to join our Hardcover Hose Discord server via the link in the show notes, or send us an email at hardcoverhosepod@gmail.com. For real, though, because our email's inbox is dry. Feel free to recommend books to cover in future episodes as well. As always, I am Sam Cabrera-Dixon.
I'm Sammy Skorstad.
And this has been an episode of Hardcover Hose. If you enjoyed this listening experience and you'd like to follow along with us next time, the next book on our to-be-read list is Icebreaker by Hannah Grace. Until we meet again, enjoy your reading. Bye.
Bye.